right on the tails of Passover is another day that we observe, and it actually starts tonight at sundown. And it's a very sad occasion because it's Yom HaShoah. It's the remembrance of the Holocaust. And today is the, or tomorrow is the day, April 15th, that the Warsaw Ghetto was established, and that's why they observe it on this day. And so I've asked Ken and Roger to teach for me since I'm not able to talk very well. I didn't think I was going to be up for it, but he's going to teach about Yom HaShoah. We're going to observe it today. So,
in 1951, the Knesset declared that the 27th day of Nisan is to be Holocaust Day, a day of commemoration of the Jews who perished and for those who showed resistance and heroism. In 1959, the Knesset passed the law of Holocaust Day, Yom HaShoah.
Auschwitz.
6 extermination camps in Poland, the largest being Auschwitz.
Belzec, Chełmno. In Germany, there was no extermination camps. They had concentration camps, and there were 20 of them, including Dachau and Bergen-Belsen, which I'm very familiar with. Majdanek, Sobibor, Treblinka.
How many, Rebbe, lost their lives at Treblinka?
Over a million.
Over a million. 6 million Jews. And of course, as you can see, what we end up with is a menorah. Every year since 1989, the Knesset in cooperation with Yad Vashem performs the ceremony of Everyone Has a Name, in which the names of all of the Holocaust victims are read aloud. And that is very, very important. One of the things that we overlook a lot of times when we're studying Hebrew and all the things that we study here, and that is the fact that we have a lot of ancient Hebrew euphemisms. And a lot of times, you know, when you're reading something in Scripture, you really can't literally translate. How many of you know that? You know, when we say today to some young, you know, you got some young guy and he's with some young lady and he says, "Who are you seeing? Are you seeing anybody?" Well, you know, she could say, "Yeah, I'm seeing you right now." No, but it doesn't mean that, does it? Doesn't mean that. It's a euphemism. And so we have these things in our modern days, and we have them all through Scripture. And there are a lot of things that are in Scripture that literally don't mean what they say, what they read. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 5, we see in the Hebrew, everybody's turning in their Bibles. It's nice. You all have Hebrew Bibles. In the Hebrew, not in the English, in the Hebrew it says Yad Vashem. In Isaiah 56 and verse 5, it says Yad Vashem. When I was at Yad Vashem in Israel, in Jerusalem in 93, I was there with quite a few pastors. There were way over 47 clergy. And one of them turned to me as we were going into Yad Vashem and said, "Why did they call this place Yad Vashem?" And the reason is because of Isaiah 56 and verse 5. And all of us should know this, that is where we find this term, Yad Vashem, which means literally in biblical Hebrew, memorial. And so we find that there, talking about the memorial. And that is why the name of that particular Holocaust museum is Yad Vashem. And everyone here already knew that. I wasn't telling you anything that you didn't already know. But I wanted you to just kind of refresh yourself in that. One of the wonderful things that Rebbe a lot of times shares things with us, he said, "Oh, you've got to rent the film Jacob the Liar." And there are, I have a listing of 16 wonderful films that you could watch, Hollywood films, on the Holocaust. One of them being Jacob the Liar. Sophie's Choice is another one. The Devil's Arithmetic, which is one that my wife and I have talked about. We should probably buy a copy of that. Where a young girl in this modern day, you know, she just doesn't really understand all of this, you know, and all of a sudden she steps through the door and she's back in time. And she goes through the whole thing. And quite interesting. In the Arms of Strangers, Stories of the Kinder Transport. How many of you saw that one? That was interesting because they Shoah. There's a movie called Shoah, and Escape from. Yes, say it louder, Reverend. Yeah, Escape from the. He said this to me this morning. He said, "Hey, have you seen that one?" You know, and then there's one called Controversy, or Conspiracy. Controversy, Conspiracy. I'm not perfect. I am forgiven. Hopefully. there is one, too, entitled just Holocaust. We see Schindler's List, which we didn't allow some of our grandchildren to see until they got to be of a certain age. And then one of our granddaughters did watch it with her mother, and it's pretty intense. And so, and then The Pianist. And, of course, some of you have copies of this. I remember when I watched this movie, this is so striking. I mean, Anne Frank, the whole story. Uprising is one. Europe. Night and Fog. Life is Beautiful, which we went to see with Rebbe and Dalma, and you had to read the entire movie because it was in Italian. It was so funny. How many of you realize that Spanish and Italian are very close? So if you speak Spanish, you can actually go to this movie and not read the subtitles. Hallelujah. And then The Gray Zone. And the list goes on and on. The Hiding Place is another one, and yes, and some of you have seen some that maybe I didn't even mention, but we have all of these films that tell us a great deal about what went on and in different periods of time, what took place. Because, quite frankly, you have quite a time span. You actually have about 12 years of time span where all of these persecutions are going on. And in 1933, Hitler began the national policy of organized persecution of the Jews. And they began from 1933 through 1939 to cleanse Germany. This was the thing to cleanse Germany of her Jewish population. So they became very, very intolerant. You fired all of your Jewish people who were employed. You didn't buy any art from them. You didn't. You shunned them. Horrible things would even happen on the street as they would be going down the street. They may just grab a Jew and say, "You're going to clean the street today," and hand them a toothbrush. and force them to just scrub. Horrible things, trying to humiliate them or whatever to cause them to want to vacate, to leave. Tremendous discrimination. And in fact, the Holocaust Museum that Kathy and I went to in California, in LA, actually the theme of that whole place was on discrimination. And Hitler hated lots of different groups of people. I mean, if you were a gypsy, he didn't like you. If you were black, he didn't like you. If you were a Jew, well, you were going to be exterminated. You know, this was his plan. But what happened is a lot of them wanted to then leave, and they would make attempts to leave the country, to go someplace else. But there was this unwillingness to accept Jewish refugees. And in fact, we were talking about this just the other day, that a group of them got on a ship and tried to go to one port and was refused. And they just kept going and going and going. And finally, they ended up back where they started. And of course, then they executed all of them. No one would let them get off the boat. And so, you know, we get this comment too, why wasn't there Jewish people who rose up and resisted? Well, there was huge resistance, and even in the ghettos, even in Warsaw ghetto, you see this. And of course, Jacob the Liar, that was too about that. 1939 through 1941, Jews began to be placed in the concentration camps and forced labor in ghettos in Poland and the Ukraine and the Baltic states. And they had the hard labor. That was the one thing about light. The life is beautiful. My gosh, they had to, you know, here's this little skinny individual, and he's supposed to carry all this great heavy scrap iron. And of course, you know, he doesn't really want to do that. But what is the alternative? A bullet in the head, or you carry scrap iron? So he carried scrap iron. But they didn't really care if you perished in doing these activities. A lot of Jewish people just didn't survive. And the 1941 through 43, you have the death camps start. You know, that's when they began to see these death camps, these six death camps in Poland. And my goodness, horrible. You know, last year we had Rachel Rosenberg come and share some of what she experienced, being a survivor of Auschwitz. And what a joy it was to see her with us this year at Pesach, dancing around the room and enjoying herself. And I told her when I saw her in the hall, I said, you know, you've already been to hell. You know, it's nice to have a little bit of heaven, huh? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A little taste of what it's like to live in the messianic kingdom. Isn't it good? Doesn't Yeshua taste good? You know, we have all of this tragedy. One of the things that we know for sure is that from the ashes, the state of Israel was birthed. And it is important to note that the success of the Nazi machine could not have been so great were it not for the cooperation of the local populations. There were towns right outside of these places that just totally ignored the fact that anything was going on. And when the liberation came, and they went and they filmed all of this, one of the individuals that did a great deal of filming of the camps and the atrocities and documenting of all of this after the war was Alfred Hitchcock. How many of you knew that, of course? And he documented all of this. And when they went and liberated one of the camps, and the people totally denied that there was anything going on. And they made all of the population of that town come to the camp and go through and see everything. The smell alone would have been enough to make you sick. I cannot tell you of what it's like to go through Yad Vashem. There is a Holocaust museum in Chicago, and that there's one in Tampa Bay in Florida. It's the Tampa Bay Holocaust Museum. We have different ones around the country here, but the one in Washington, D.C. is one that my wife and I have been to several times, but nothing can compare really to Yad Vashem. You have children. Today, birthday girl, right here. Huh? Happy birthday to you, huh? Isn't it wonderful? We enjoy these children, and grandchildren are so special. Our children mean so much to us, and it is exciting to celebrate their birthdays and all of these things. When I was at Yad Vashem, and I went to the place where they showed what they did to the children. And I am not here to go into details with you because, quite frankly, you cannot imagine. It doesn't even enter your mind the things that were done. But they, it was not just men, Jewish men, it was Jewish women, it was young girls, it was children, and all kinds of horrible things. And all of this is documented. And here are these Nazis, and they film everything. And they document it all. And so there's all of this record. And when you hear someone saying, well, that never happened, never took place. What, you got the idiot? Where's the brain of this person, you know, that's talking like this? I saw some of those out there on the internet. And this is the thing, is that internet sometimes is a great source for garbage. But there are those articles out there that this stuff never happened. Well, it most certainly did happen, and it's so well recorded that, quite frankly, I don't know who in the world could deny it. And because you have all of this being documented, and of course, everything, the pictures, just when you go there, you cry from the minute you get there till you're done. And I could hardly see. I know that when I go back, I'm going to cry all over again. I have in my family, David is my son-in-law, David. His family was from Krakow. When I got out, and of course, all of the trees have little plaques and with names and people. And oh my goodness, you know. And I would look at those and just cry. But thank the Lord that there were a lot of individuals that stood up and did something, that said no. The ten boons are counted as the righteous, and their names are listed there in Jerusalem. This is the thing, too, even with Schindler. You know, God can use anyone, can't he? And he used Schindler to help his people survive. One of the things that excited me, and I see this, remember the scene where the Nazi is going to shoot this Jewish man and his gun won't fire. And then he gets so disgusted, he can't get the gun to fire, and he takes this other Nazi's gun and he tries to shoot him, and that gun won't fire. And then he just leaves. Right then, you know there is a God. I mean, there are all these testimonies, and we see the hand of God in all of these things. And but you can rent the movies, you can see the documentaries, you can watch the education station, but you cannot ever comprehend what it's like to really have been there and to have gone through this. These candles are burning in remembrance of those that passed. When we look in the New Testament, when we look in the Berit HaKadoshah, we see the story of Jericho. We see the story of the man who was beaten, who robbers fell upon. Yeshua tells this story. And of course, people pass by and they do nothing. Not just anybody, people of importance. When good men do nothing, evil triumphs. There is in the scripture the sin of omission, to do nothing, to say nothing. God says it's a sin. He says that when husbands say nothing, then they can never complain about what their wife did when she bought those icky looking curtains. They approved of it by their silence. This is the teaching from Scripture. God teaches us that when a man says nothing, he ratifies and affirms everything his wife did, and that he can never go back and say anything later, because everything has been ratified and affirmed. And that's what Scripture teaches. And those of you that want to, I'll sit with you with my Bible after service and show you all the verses. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it? And here's Yeshua giving the same teaching. These men ratified and affirmed the evil that had been done by saying nothing, by doing nothing. We cannot stand by and do nothing. We have to speak. We have to stand and say something. We have the words of eternal life. We know Yeshua. We know the Savior. We know the story of salvation. We must say something. We have an opportunity to turn people from death to life. It's wonderful to reach out to Rachel Rosenberg and other people like her, but there are so many in this community. We really have a small number, just a little over 6,000 Jewish people in the Omaha area. Some of us work with Jewish people. Some of us know people that we can talk to. It says over and over again, how many times, Rebbe, to the Jew first? 16 times. I think we kind of eradicated that and said, I don't think I see that, no, you know, but it's there. And we need to at least a dot, take that banner and stand up for the Messiah and be willing to say to people, we know the Messiah who has eternal life. You've suffered so much. Give your life to him and live. In his blessed name, amen.
When I was a little boy, I used to go with my grandmother to visit our relatives. And they always spoke Yiddish. And I always thought Yiddish was the crying language. Because all they ever did when they spoke was they were crying. And these people all had tattooed numbers on their arms. And they were the part of our family that came over after World War II. We got there before, of course, at the turn of the century. And I found out from studying my family history that, you know, some of them went to Israel in 1936 and established Haifa and started building the city of Haifa. And that some of them went other places in the world, but some of them stayed in Poland, in Austria-Hungary, Poland, the area where they were. And they were killed in the Holocaust at Auschwitz. And I found on the internet, doing an extensive study, I found a deportment order for one of my relatives from France to go on the train. And you know where that led. And it's pretty sad, you know, to know that those were my relatives, although I never met them all except the ones I saw in New York. But what I always remember from being a child was that number on their arm. And to this day, it sickens me to see a tattoo on anybody, because I know that my people got tattoos on their arms so they could be killed. And, you know, every time I see a tattoo, I just turn. It's just like it's something inside me. It just disgusts me. You know, and the Bible forbids it, but, you know, the worst thing a person can do is put a tattoo on their arm. And I know in the book of Revelation it says that if we don't take the number, we're going to die. Well, there isn't a Jew alive that's going to take that number. There isn't a Jew alive that knows that. We all know. We're not taking another tattoo on our arm. And I ain't. So I guess I'll die. But that's okay, because I'm going to live again forever.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and I've studied the Holocaust a great deal, and I've also studied, I have a degree in history, so I do these things. I also studied the American Indians and what we did to them. We genocided 75% of the American Indian population. And those were my two areas of big study, was the Holocaust and the American Indians.